our original purpose in getting together was to create or put up a wind turbine on the ISU farm. And so we started meeting about that, and then we said, you know what? Our goals are much loftier than that. We'd really like to create an educational experience for students in renewable energy. So that was kind of the founding of our Bachelor of Science degree in renewable energy, and out of that grew the Center for Renewable Energy and running the Illinois Wind Working Group and being involved in a lot of the wind activities in the state.
What is the Illinois Wind Working Group?
Yeah, Illinois Wind Working Group is part of Wind Powering America. There's 34 different wind working groups across the country. It's part of the U.S. Department of Energy's efforts to encourage wind energy in the states. We've created partnerships with wind energy companies as well as solar companies and so forth to give our students those educational experiences. So it actually works out better because students go out and work on internships with the companies. They get company training, and then they have something to put on their resume as opposed to, oh, yeah, I climbed that turbine that was part of the university. Looks much better for students to say, oh, I work for Suzlon Wind Energy, and I got to go to their two-week boot camp in Minnesota, and I've climbed a turbine, and here's a picture of me atop the a Suzlon turbine. So I think it's actually worked out much better.
I would assume, though, you probably also recognize that this was going to happen elsewhere in East Central Illinois, maybe while this drive to have the turbine on campus was going on, and other farms that students could become involved with.
Yeah, we kind of lost our first mover advantage. We wanted to have, we were in discussions before the Twin Groves Wind Farm was built in East McLean County. So it would have been the first utility-size wind turbine in the state. And so once we were no longer having the first turbine, and once these other wind farms grew up, we said, there's not as great a need to pursue that goal.
So how much have you been able to look at what's going on? I mentioned to you where I'm tracking the Ford and Iroquois County farms, mm-hmm. Eon Climate and Renewables, BP still has a possible project elsewhere in Ford County in the community of Roberts right outside of there. How much have you been able to watch the development of these and if they're doing it right?
Yeah, we try and track. If you go out to the center website, we have a database that tracks here the completed wind farms, under construction, permitted, proposed wind farms, so you can see what turbines they're looking to put in, how big it's going to be. We try and track those through the process. And then we have a conference coming up, a siting, zoning, taxation conference that's aimed really towards county officials that have to go through this very technical process of permitting and say, and so I'll be presenting a lot of the information there from our database to say, here's where we're at for the state, and we try and stay on top of that as best we can.
Are you looking at particular things that were done at some farms and they're not, that they didn't do this right, or these people are doing it much better, regardless of where it's being done?
Yeah, we haven't dived into kind of like a report per se for, say, best practices moving forward. But some of the critical issues is what we're continuing to research. So we're currently working on a report on decommissioning costs, because that's become a very contentious issue. And I think it's an important issue that everybody wants to be concerned about, the landowners, the county officials, to say we want to ensure that there's money to decommission these turbines when they're at the end of their useful life. So before we issue a permit, what kind of surety do we have? What form does that take? Is that a letter of credit, an escrow account? When does that money have to be deposited? And how much is it going to cost? And that's a difficult question to say with great certainty, because we're looking at, 20 to 30 years later. What are the costs of anything going to be 20, 30 years later? And a big contention is what's the value or non-value of the scrap metal going to be 20 to 30 years into the future?
The other two issues that are coming that come up for me, seeing residents in rural areas that have turbines right outside their window, not so many yards away, one couple in Iroquois County that did not agree to be part of the having them there. The process for retrofitting a rural road to bring these big cranes out and install them, and the setback, how close you can have them.
Right. And that's become a number of counties are looking at their ordinance and saying, do we want to change that distance from the turbine to the house or turbine to the property line? And there, you know, one of the issues is noise. You know, how far away do you need to be for it to be under the Illinois Pollution Control Board's standard? Is that standard the best standard that we want to do? Do you want to have quieter standards? And so a lot of the counties have had 1,500 feet as a setback distance. Some counties, Lee County, for example, has proposed at least one person there proposed a mile and a quarter as a new setback, which would be, I think, one of the furthest setback that you'd have. On the other hand, the wind developers will say, oh, if you make it that setback, you've basically zoned out wind development because you draw the circles around every residence and there's no spot to put a wind turbine in. So I think the county board members, I'm very sympathetic to them. They've got a hard balancing act to say, well, we like the economic development aspects that come along with this wind farm and the tax revenues that would flow to the school district and to the county, but we want to also protect the rights of our landowners who are non-participating, especially not to have the nuisance factors that they might consider by being near a wind turbine.
So are there particular ones that said, boy, they really mess this up, or certain ones that should be the model on how to do it, wherever you've looked at farms?
You know, there's two companies that I've tracked closely, and from a lot of people that I've talked with have done a good job and kind of being a good, a participant in their development, stuck around for longer. And that heard good things about the Twin Groves Wind Farm in East McLean County. That's a Horizon Wind Energy. They've now changed their name to EDP Renewables, taken on their parent company name. And they seem to have a generally good reputation for how they've dealt with the county boards, local landowners, non-participating landowners. I haven't heard, you know, great complaints from them. Iberdrola is another one. Both of these are very large wind companies, have a lot of development across the country, and seem to have gotten the process down well and listen well to their citizen. Not to say any others are necessarily bad, but I've heard good feedback about those too.
Is some of it communication, because you have a construction crew that does it, and they're hired by Eon Client Renewables or whoever is doing the work? Is it just the communication lines?
Yeah, I think part of it is you're going to have a head. The developer is going to hire a construction firm that's going to come in and manage the whole project, and then they're going to have subcontractors. Maintaining a local presence, communicating complaints if there are problems, solving them early rather than letting those fester is a key importance.
Why is East Central Illinois so popular for wind farms? Is it windy? What's the big reason?
Well, you need three things for a wind farm development. First thing and primary need is a very good wind resource. And we are, if you look at a revised map of Illinois, we are in this kind of sweet spot in terms of a wind corridor. There's not much wind in southern Illinois. You don't see a lot of activity in southern Illinois, but kind of east central, central Illinois, and kind of northern Illinois has some very good resource. Second thing you need is available transmission capacity. And so a lot of the development that happened in Livingston County and McLean County, for example, we've used up all the available transmission capacity. So it's still windy and there's still good prospects, but they can't deliver that electricity out to market because there's no available transmission capacity. So companies have kind of shifted their attention east here towards Iroquois, Vermilion County, Champaign County, because there's still available transmission capacity to get that out, and maybe not as good a wind resource, but very economically viable. And the third thing you need is a good market to sell it into. And so we have a big load center in Chicago, so the transmission capacity flows ordinarily into Chicago. We've had a renewable portfolio standard in the state that's mandated that Ameren and ComEd buy an ever-increasing amount of their electricity from renewable resources. And so that's created a good market condition for, you know, East Central Illinois to be a prime player in this.
The prior interview I heard you give, Illinois several months ago was on the verge of becoming, behind Texas, Iowa, and California, the fourth largest for wind energy capacity. Are we there?
We're not quite there, but although we have a number of projects under construction, even the ones that you've mentioned. And so it's kind of a horse race right now in terms of, we could be the fourth largest state, but we're not there yet. If we get our projects built ahead of some of the other states, or they don't go further in construction, we're very possibly number four in the country. Texas and Iowa, we're never going to catch. They're way out there, and California. But then we could be, you know, number four in the country, which people wouldn't say. Illinois, Midwestern state, but we've done very well in this state, and it's provided lots of economic development for benefits.
Are we closer to developing some sort of smart grid or a way of storing this energy that's built up?
Well, the legislature just passed a smart grid bill, so the effects of that are still now winding its way before the Illinois Commerce Commission. I think Commonwealth Edison and Ameren have filed under that statute for what they want to do to build out. Now it's up to the Illinois Commerce Commission to give approval to that. But smart grid and renewable energy are very compatible with one another. Smart grid can be a very great enabler of renewable energy technology. So I'm encouraged to see how that moves forward.
I think it was touched on in that other interview was taxation. Should there be a new methodology by which that wind energy is distributed for taxation purposes?
Yeah, we have a law that's been renewed because before, early on when these were first coming into being, the assessed value for tax purposes was left up to the county assessor's office, who then had to determine its value. And a number of years ago, they passed a law that created a standard per megawatt of capacity. That it's going to be the statewide standard. And so that kind of took it out of the assessor's hand. And I viewed that as very successful because nobody liked the law. The assessor's office said, gee, it should be higher. The developer said, oh, it should be lower. And it seemed like it hit a happy medium. And everybody agreed that it's better to have certainty than uncertainty when they move forward. And so we recently did a report, it's out on the center's website, looking at the impacts from school districts, because property taxes in large part goes to school district. And there was some criticism that school districts would lose more in state aid than what they would get from the wind farm taxes coming in. And so we did a very detailed analysis, looked at that. And it is true that if your EAV goes up, the school district will receive less state aid. But we did an analysis projecting out, and it's very large on the positive side that, you know, the amount that they get in additional tax revenue directly from the wind developer and owner of that wind farm is much greater than the small offset that they would lose in terms of state aid. And state aid is not very certain, whereas your taxing body and extracting it from a property owner in your county is a lot more certain.
People complain that it's not benefiting their community, or maybe they haven't seen, the school district hasn't seen the funds yet. I mean, I don't know if you'd look at any of the nearby projects to see, like you mentioned, the one in McLean County, where we're definitely seeing all the benefits that were promised to nearby residents.
Yeah, we did an analysis in that report where we looked at the oldest wind farm, the very first wind farm, because then we have the longest history to say, over time, how has that played itself out? And then we looked at the Ridgeview School District that was in the Twin Groves wind farm area to look at those impacts. And then we took kind of a hypothetical wind farm to say, you know, if you had 100 turbines, 1.5 megawatt, what would this mean for your community? Because that seemed to be fairly typical size for a wind farm, so that they could gauge what would be there. And the number one person usually at a wind farm permitting hearing is the school superintendent. So almost every hearing that I've gone to, they're testifying and said, we would love this wind farm to come in to our community, because they've crunched the numbers for themselves. And they're saying, you know what, this could, I can hire 5 to 6 more teachers if this wind farm comes in. And then with the permitting fees, the county usually gets a substantial a windfall of fees coming in. Those tend to be a one-time fee for the permitting fee, but then they have ongoing, you know, they get a certain percentage of those tax benefits according to their rate as well.
So you communicate with anybody that just says, I'm disgusted, you know, I got these big turbines and it sounds like there's a jet going over my house and those kinds of things?
Yeah, I've certainly seen people who have been not in favor of wind energy that have showed up to permitting hearings where they've had them in their community, they're nearby their house, and they're encouraging people, don't let this come into your community and things. And it's not that I'm heartless and don't care or think that these people are lying or whatever. But, you know, as we've looked generally for scientific research to study it, the health impacts and things for properly sited wind farm have been not found to be, you know, valid according to the research. That's not to say that one individual is not having a problem from that turbine in terms of the noise or shadow flicker or something, but I think most cases a responsible developer goes out of their way to minimize those effects on the residents.